Let's read together Proverbs chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. Here in this first half of the chapter, we have 13 more Proverbs for living from the inspired writings of King Solomon. Now, for background, let's talk a little about the refining pot that's mentioned in verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. I'm sure everyone here has had enough background to understand what refining and smelting is all about when it comes to metals. To separate a metal from its ore, or to purify a precious metal, intensive heat is needed. The container for such a process is either a small refining pot or crucible, if the amount of the metal is relatively small, or a furnace, if the amount of the metal is larger. The furnace that the faithful three Hebrews were thrown into in Daniel chapter 3 may have been a smelting furnace, or on the other hand, it may have been a brick kiln. In any case, intense heat is required in the refining process. The large smelting furnaces would be positioned so that the prevailing winds would bring about the blast furnace effect. With that background knowledge, Proverbs 17, verse 3 becomes a powerful picture of God's refining process of the believer. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. And that brings us once again to our doctrinal point for Proverbs. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Quite a contrast here, right? It's not just a small hamburger compared to a steak dinner. No, it's a dry crust of bread for a meal compared to a sumptuous feast. However, with the feast, there is arguing and quarreling, but with the leftover crust, there is peace and tranquility. Now think of an extended family Thanksgiving dinner. What would you opt for? Some moldy bread with wonderful and peaceful family time? Or turkey with all the trimmings, but family members arguing and feuding around the table? Most of us would probably opt for something halfway in between. But notice what God calls better. Verse 2, a wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. In the ancient world, the status of a son was significantly higher and more favored than that of a hired servant, who might even be a slave. And yet, loyal and faithful service to the master might well advance the slave over the ne'er-do-well son. The practical application of this proverb should be obvious. Be a hardworking, dependable, loyal, and honest employee. As a general truth, you will be advanced and you will be rewarded. Verse 3. Now, we looked at this proverb under our background notes, and we will come back to it for our practical application. Verse 4. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. At least two logical conclusions can be deduced from this proverb. Number 1. The kind of talk you listen to and feed on is an indication of your character. And number 2, you're just as guilty of gossip if you listen to it. Verse 5, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. You know, some folks seem to enjoy making fun of the poor and even make jokes about those who suffer loss in a calamity. This is wrong, because poor people are also made in God's image, and to mock them is to mock God. In the book of Obadiah, we are exhorted by application not to gloat over our brother's day of misfortune. Obadiah, verse 12. Verse 6, Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Now, those of us who are grandparents can certainly identify with the first part of this proverb, right? There are no grandchildren that are smarter or more talented or more athletic than our grandchildren. Now, seriously speaking, Proverbs 17:6 teaches that God sees the extended family as an important unit in society, and respect and honor in the family make it a functional family. Show me an extended family that does not follow Proverbs 17:6, and I'll show you a dysfunctional family. Verse 7, excellent or arrogant speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. The point of this proverb seems to be that if arrogant or lofty speech is unbecoming to a fool who doesn't know what he's talking about, how much worse is it when a prince or a ruler lies? The bad fallout is far greater when a leader who is expected to tell the truth lies and betrays his people. Verse 8, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Now, some translations have bribe here instead of present or gift, with the idea that this proverb is stating that bribes are effective, even though bribery is not condoned in the Bible, as verse 23, for example, makes very clear. Look over at verse 23 of Proverbs 17. A wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. However, I like the translation of a present or gift here in verse 8 of Proverbs 17, because it is not wrong to use a motivating gift to get a person to do what is good and right, such as promising your children some gift or reward for memorizing 100 Bible verses, for example. This is not a bribe, it's a reward. Bribery, by definition, is an attempt to induce someone to do something wrong or dishonest. Verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now, this proverb is not encouraging us to sweep sin under the rug. No. The idea is that we don't dig up dirt about another person if we want peace and love to prevail. Gossip, on the other hand, is not only sinful, but will break up good friendships. I've seen it happen even in families. Verse 10, rebuke is more effective for a wise person than 100 blows on a fool. A word to the wise is sufficient is not a verse in the Bible, but it does capture the truth of this proverb. Rebuke is more effective for a wise person than 100 blows on a fool. When a teacher, for example, says to her class to quiet down, who quiets down? The wise and understanding students. Verse 11, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. God hates rebellion and refusal to submit to the authority structures that he has ordained. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness or insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Proverbs 17, verse 11, the proverb before us, not only says that rebellion is evil, but that God will deal with it. God's moral law of Galatians 6, 7 will not be overturned. You will reap what you sow. Now, the cruel or merciless messenger here that God sends could be a stronger authority, or an accident, or some great loss, or even death. The rest of Scripture certainly backs up this principle of stern discipline for rebellion. Parents should follow this biblical principle of stern discipline for rebellion when disciplining their children. You don't crack the whip necessarily for mistakes, but you do crack the whip for rebellion. Verse 12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Let me ask you, would you rather meet a female bear robbed of her cubs or an out-of-control fool with a gun? Be warned, there's no telling what a fool in his folly might do. Remember, Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 13, whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. King David is the perfect illustration of this proverb. He repaid his loyal servant Uriah with death and then took his wife. This was evil, and evil never departed from David's house. See 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, where the prophet Nathan said to David, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. From 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Again, you cannot break God's moral laws and get away with it. Illustration. Several years ago, I just happened to meet a former student of mine while traveling. After the small talk, he told me that he had divorced his good wife and had left her and their child because, in his words, he had met someone better suited for him. This was returning evil for good. He said that at first he thought God was going to zap him, but then it didn't happen, and now he was happy. Within 2 years of that conversation, this young man died suddenly. God will not be mocked. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us to our practical application for this first half of Proverbs chapter 17. Let the Lord's face be reflected in your life. Let the Lord's face be reflected in your life. Verse 3, once again, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. The refiner knows that the precious metal in the crucible is purified when he can see his face reflected in the molten metal. In the same way, as the heat is turned up and our lives are tested, the dross is eliminated until the Lord can be seen reflected in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. The life of the believer is like a precious metal containing dross that needs to be removed. Only then can the Lord be seen in our lives. Let the Lord's face be reflected in your life.